Yo, what up? This is Infinite, and you're tuned in to WeLoveHipHop.ca. Stay tuned.
Yo, Falcon Crest, and the only thing we love is hip-hop. We love hip-hop, fam. I hate that.
This is Tattoo Barbie. I'm a We Love Hip-Hop Toronto, Toronto's most smoked-out podcast.
You ain't know what time it is. Your boy Nojo Jigsaw, man. We love hip-hop shit. You know what I'm saying? My boy Friday, my boy Herx, man. We out here. We love hip-hop, man.
Yo, man, give me some of that old gangster ass shit, you know what I'm saying? Some shit I can just kick back, smoke a fat ass joint too.
Some good shit.
Put your hand over your heart and in a loud, clear voice, play along with us.
We love hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop, hip hop.
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, yeah.
Let me see what's going on here. We got a tune by Young Smoke.
Oh, yes.
Day by Day. Ladies out there, pick up the Nacia.
No.
Hopefully you two don't hit us with a super long intro. Ladies, episode 102. Jeez. What's most smoked out podcast?
These bitches wish bad on me. Broke bitches got no gas on E. I pull up my neck, my wrist, my diamonds, and my lips on.
Hey.
Pretty little, she's on fleek. Who she gonna leave with? Touch my weed, that's These bitches wish bad on me. Oops, look at that, got fans on me. Only loud, no sands on me.
All right, let's get this shit started. All right, so we are Buck. It's the world's most smoked out podcast. We love hip hop. I'm your host with the most toast, Friday Ricky Dread, aka Camouflage Rick, aka Kung Fu Kofi. Hey.
Whoa, where did that come
Jesus
from?
Jesus Christ. Aka a lot of motherfucking AKAs.
Kung Fu Kofi, okay.
And to the right of me.
It's me SSC underscore Hayhurst underscore PK as usual. You know how it goes. That's just me, aka also Paul Bunyan or Smokey the Bear, whatever you prefer. Jeez, big up to everybody who hails me up in the streets. I'm still getting used to it, so if I dip real quick it's nothing personal, you know what I'm saying. So yeah, let's get this started. Episode 102 is gonna be a big episode. Yes sir, yes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And we got a special one here because, you know, we're going to be starting this off with a special guest. You know what I'm saying? We got legends in the building. You know what I mean? It's been a legendary month, actually. You know what I'm saying? We've been
episode 100.
Yeah.
And
oh, 101. By the way, I'm going to be pressing my sound effects. Y'all can't hear them.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it's more fire.
Okay.
You got Tourette's when it comes to sound effects.
But for the people who are hearing the voices, hearing that voice in the listening audience out there, you know what I'm saying? We got Infinite in the motherfucking building.
No doubt.
And you know what? Before I just say Infinite in the building, we got Juno Award winning fucking Infinite in there. Or Much Music Award winning Infinite.
Two of them. Both of them.
Both of them, eh? Yeah. Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Accolades.
Hey.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
And a definite hip-hop legend in the Toronto scene.
Listen, I would go as far as to say top five. You know what I'm saying?
First I heard that.
Hey, hey. We're going to talk about that.
It probably won't be the last time either.
We're definitely going to be talking about the top five statuses and stuff like that as well, because we were going through the website and we seen top five in there.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So
mentioned by like other people, you're saying, right?
Yeah. So it's definitely a conversation that we're going to be having later on today. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
Top five, and it's not five in the top five either. So.
Oh no! We're
easily one, two, or three in the top five. So,
you know what I'm saying. So, one thing that we do here, and before we even get to that, shout out to the Amsterdam Lounge. It's over here at 529 Young Street on the corner of Wellesley. It's open every day, Monday to Sunday, 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. However, quick announcement: as of, and I want to just make sure my levels are good. Yeah. Okay, quick announcement. January 1st, they're going to be doing only private events over here at the Amsterdam.
Okay? Oh.
So the Amsterdam was a place where before, like, you could come through, smoke hella weed, you know what I mean, eat some food, you know, bring the shorty.
Yeah, like a lounge.
Yeah. Okay. You know what I'm saying? What do you usually say, Herc?
Yeah, you used to come, you know, if you had enough game, come with your main thing or your side thing or both of them if your game is real strong. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Come with the stable as long as they all get along. You know what I mean? But now it's going to have to be a private function.
If you're on your Lou Will shit, you know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But now, yeah, private functions only. So, unfortunately.
Because of this new legalized prohibition.
Yeah. You know what? Let me cut. 1 2 1 2 I was just having a little quick technical difficulties here with my mic, so for all the people who are in the listening audience, that's to cut in. But yeah, January 1st, they're not going to be doing the whole everybody come and chill thing. All right, so for all the people who are in the listening audience, look out for that. If you want to book your private events, anything like that, you know, sports events, dance events, things like that, hit them up at their phone number, 647-278-4369, or at Amsterdam_lounge on Instagram. Let me get a quick mic check from you again here.
Yo.
One more?
Yeah. Yo.
Okay, you should be good. Yeah. All right. So, and what about
yo,
you?
Yo.
I think you're coming in super hot, Herc.
Yo.
Let's see. Okay. Oh, okay. I see what's going on here. Y'all switched the mic cords around on me. Give me another mic check.
The mics.
Here.
Completely switched the mics.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right. So, one thing that we always do every week, we have our top six tracks in Toronto.
Right.
Okay. And we were talking about it before off camera. Yeah. How, you know, not everybody always knows everybody on the list or the tunes and everything. Mm-hmm. But this city is producing about 10 fucking videos per week, at least.
Yeah. At least minimum 10, yes. Flipping sometimes even more.
Averaging 10 videos a week.
Easy.
That's high.
Easy.
And there's a lot of, I don't want to use the word repeat offenders, but there is a lot of people that do come on, like they're on the list like every other week.
Yeah.
You know, okay. So.
You were on the list at one point,
too. Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You had that track.
Untold.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yo, you know what? One thing, and for the people who are just tuning in now, we have Infinite in the building, the legendary Infinite in the building.
Yes.
Yeah. One thing that I liked about that video as well, it was showing like the unification that you're trying to do with the Bloods and the Crips in the city.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, the message there with the blue and the red.
Yeah.
Right.
And that's definitely something that we try to keep on talking about on the show, like how, like,
right.
You know, maybe how different ways to bring down a murder rate or,
right.
You know, rappers like in you know, getting crazy in their tracks and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And how, you know, we get dope tunes, but it might sometimes make it harder to get to that next level. So
right.
It was dope that you came with a track that was addressing a lot of different things.
See, yeah, that's right. We talk about that when it's time to talk about it.
Definitely.
You know what I'm saying?
But let's get to this top six list. Chosen by the people, you know what I'm saying? Common Gang Scrown. They came through this week. They did their thing.
Us know what track they want to be number one, and if we don't get it right, they also let us know.
Yeah.
So the Common Gang definitely has their voice heard.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Our Common Gang is either this is the track that we want to hear, or why isn't so and so on the list?
Yeah.
What the fuck, dog? Yeah. You're sleeping.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But chosen by the people, and we got a good list this week. All right,
we got a good list every week usually.
Yeah. So number six, Zigzags, Dukes, NS, and YC, P p.m. to the a.m. No Stylist remix.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So the band them jumped on the French and Drake No Stylist tune.
No Stylist.
And then they did their thing. That's back dope. to back.
That's dope.
Yeah, yeah. No Hook.
Yeah. You know
Yeah. So one of your favorites are No Hook tune. Just bars.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
No, I'm not sure to be critical. The only thing I'm waiting for really is the drop off of auto tunes, but I know it's gonna be a long time before that happens.
Go hold your breath, fam.
I know, that's why I said I'm gonna be waiting a long time.
Yeah.
But whatever, I can dream.
It's been around for like almost 15 years already.
Yeah, but the way that it from the original usage
back to the original thing,
it's been used now.
Yeah,
I wish it would go back to the original.
How it was used.
Yeah, how it was intended to be used.
Yeah.
Back in the days. Yeah. You might bring back Roger Troutman, right?
Some computer love.
Holy. All right, so
exactly.
So big up to Zigzag, big up to Dukes, big up to NS, and big up to YC. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Mandem, they're doing their thing.
No doubt, man.
Barring it down. But number five, Wizzy and Young Lava, Lurking.
Ho, ho, ho.
Mm-hmm.
It's a heavy track.
Yeah. Listen, man, like Young Lava puts a video out. He does like 10,000, maybe sometimes 20,000 in a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So,
Yeah.
He's hot on these streets right
now. Yeah, Young Lava's got his music is picking up, yes.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying?
The Conversations track, and then the one after that, I think it was with Pilla. They were wearing the year after the day shirts.
Yeah.
And then this now Lurking video. Yeah, bro sliding, no question.
Hey.
Okay.
Big up to Young Lava, big up to Wizzy, you know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
Next on our list though, you're gonna know this artist here. Roni, Little Did They Know.
Yeah. Shout out Regent.
Yeah. Big up to Roni. He's We Love Hip Hop alumni. You know what I'm saying?
For real, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. We had an interview with him on our 100th episode.
Yeah.
Quick little thing, you know what I'm saying, over the phone.
Yeah.
But, you know, he gave us a quick update of what's going on with him.
Okay.
He was on the list last week.
Yep. And probably 2 weeks before that, and the week before that, and then another 3 weeks before that. And, since he touched road.
Yeah.
He's been dominating.
He's going in.
He's been dominating the list. Like on a Toronto show.
Yeah.
He's from the city, but he's not happening in the city right now. Yeah. But he's killing it like he's in the city. Like you would think the man was in region right now.
Yeah.
He's dropping music. But
that's good though.
Yeah, big up to Roni.
Consistency.
That's good. That's right.
Trust me. Next on our list though, we're in our top three now.
Yeah.
Okay. So French, Triple M.
Oh, money making Mollies.
Yo, see, this is the street knowledge motherfucker right here. Right? Shout out to PK Herb. I had no idea what the fuck that meant.
Triple M meant.
Yeah.
Okay.
Money making Mollies. I'm pretty sure that's what it means.
Yeah. Big up to the whole CLE, not Cleveland. You know what I'm saying? Them niggas is doing their thing over there. Up to tutus and pangs.
Pangs, yes.
You know what I'm saying? And French has been keeping the torch lit, man. He's consistent.
There's a next track. It's an older track from there. And I don't know if it's French, if he's younger, or it's another Somalian dude from their block.
Yeah.
And he's like, yo, if you're going to come to the Louis, make sure you bring your gun and your vest too. Because if you're forwarding, you're not leaving, bro. Like, it's an old tune. This is like 2015, maybe 2016. It's a little older, you know?
Yeah.
But just the pocket, the flow was there. It was just like, wow, okay.
Yeah.
The niggas wasn't playing around from time.
No.
But yeah, big up to French, you know what I mean? Big up to the whole CLE, not Cleveland, like I said, doing big things. Number two, YG featuring Pressa, Gamble.
That tune's going in still.
What?
That tune's fire.
Yeah. And YG, he just finished dealing with whatever he had to deal with, and he's right back to it.
Yeah.
You seen the video? I seen the video. Where they're performing.
I seen the video. I only seen it once though.
Yeah, in the intro of the video, like how he's coming home.
Through the airport and stuff. Yeah. Yeah.
They're like, don't talk to the camera.
I know.
What I'm saying?
Yeah. The lady's like, yo, don't talk, don't say nothing.
Yeah.
He's trying to turn his face away from the camera, you know?
Yeah.
You know how that goes already, man.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
He was in the States, he went through his thing.
His trials and tribulations.
Yeah, man, and he got through. So big up to YG.
Yeah.
and he's back with some music, man. And Press is on a wave. Like, I'm watching the videos, and these guys are doing their tour.
Yeah.
And I'm rating it. You know,
shout out Presser. He's doing his thing. Yeah. YG, trust me. Toronto's coming up, you know. Yeah. Different level. We're just talking like the video rates going 10 a week. Keep it up, man.
The other day, not to cut, this is the same on to stay on the topic of Presser and whatever.
Yeah.
Nardwar was trying to get a hold of little Uzi
Bird.
And Presser knows him through his Canadian. Presser knows.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, hold on, Nardwar, yo. And he went because I guess the security wasn't having it. Looked at him like, nah, bro.
Yeah.
We're done for the day. you know you need to beat it, kick rocks, whatever. Security guard is not having any of what Nardwar was trying to involve himself with. Then Press is like, yo, hold on, and then he went, and then he ended up talking with Uzi Vert. But then you see everybody's in the comments like, yo, Nardwar, you should have just interviewed Presser.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, hopefully, you know, next time we'll see the Nardwar Presser.
Yeah.
Or we'll see the We Love Hip Hop Presser.
Oh, yeah, for sure. We're always working on that.
How about that?
Yeah.
Obviously, I want to see him on our show first, but.
And quick side note also to the side note there. When he finally interviewed Lil Uzi Vert, did you see any of that shit?
Yo, the man dipped like Kanye West. Oh, shit, this nigga knows too much. Oh, yeah. Kanye West, and he cut.
Yeah.
He looked at his boy and said, yo, hold on.
Yo,
he's like, you know too much. You know what?
The man put on a record.
Kanye, and the man dipped on him. Oh, ran to the truck.
He put out his Rob Zombie record. And then he said some reference that I guess only he would know.
Him and his virgins. I'm like, I'm scared. And he's like, yo, this guy knows too much.
He's like, I don't be talking about this with my friend.
How does he know all those stuff, though? How does he find out all that info?
Nardwar is the human sponge or some shit like that.
He's been doing it for how many years?
Yeah.
Damn.
Nardwar be calling people.
He got his sources. He's not going to tell you who his sources are.
Yeah. But how? To everybody like that?
Listen.
That's crazy.
The man will pull out a picture from your wall that you had when you were a kid.
Yeah. You threw this out when you were 10.
Yeah.
How the fuck did you get? Don't worry about how I got it. I got
the feds.
It.
Nah, that's
the end effect. That's too.
The man looked at him and said, you know too much. I don't know how you, but. And he just dipped. He said, I'm gone. Out to the man, ran out to the truck too, and he was knocking on the window, do-do-do-do, whatever his little catchphrase. And the man was like knocking and doing it, and then to the point the man rolled down and did, do-do-do-do-do, all right. And then he
fuck out of here, bro. I'm scared. But yeah, big up to Uzi Bird. Big up to YG and Presser. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Big up to Canada doing their thing in UK.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Bringing Toronto to the UK.
Yeah. But number one. Okay, and this is voted by the people, all right? Mm-hmm. The people came out unanimously. They were in the Instagram comments going crazy. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
You didn't get Are You Dumb?
No, Are You Dumbs this week. No, your disrespect or you're sleeping. I didn't get none of those. I got a couple of so-and-so should have been on the list and so-and-so.
Yeah. You always get those. You can't.
Yeah.
Appease everybody.
You can't avoid that.
So
yeah.
People are going to be like, yo, you should have had this man.
But I didn't get a, are you dumb? Or I didn't get the G word.
Yeah. Yeah, they like to throw that G word out. They've been to jail. So
who's number one? Which artist was that?
So number one in Toronto this week, Main Champagne, only in Toronto.
Main Champagne.
Main Champagne.
Yeah. Okay. So he's I would say a newcomer, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is the first time that he was on the list.
Yeah.
Yeah, his name sounds new.
Yeah. This is the first time he was on the list, but then I started going through the comment section.
Yeah.
And that motherfucker was tagged maybe about 12 times.
Oh, okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, I went through YouTube. YouTube wasn't really going too crazy this week, but Instagram has spoken.
Mm.
Comment gang's round. So hey,
okay.
Big up to Main Champagne. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Couple honorable mentions I want to mention as well. Is this STK9 or is this supposed STK supposed to spell something straight? STK9. He's got a track called Catch Up Part 2. Sunny Visuals on the video right there. Big up Sunny Visuals. He's a Six Views alumni. Man Like Frazier has a track called Come Let's Go. Kato featuring Jazz Cartier touring. Ace Tech, Trader Rhyme Animals, and Frankie Payne.
Bam bam.
Rise, Ghost with a track called Sonic, and Dre Bars, The Chicken Freestyle.
Big up Frankie Payne too, you know.
Yeah. That's alumni right there too.
Yeah.
So Dre Bars.
Yeah. You know what the thing is, over the last 2 years that we've been doing this show, every time we do these lists now, I'm just like, we love hip hop alumni.
Yeah,
we
it's
love
pretty hard alumni. Not to come across someone that has. Hasn't been on the show yet.
Yeah,
and we're working on the people still. So I know the comment game. You haven't heard this guy. Don't worry.
Yeah.
It's not like we're just like, nah, we don't want you.
We're
on
not
the show.
Being biased.
Yeah,
not everybody's that easy to reach. One quick thing I want to bring up in the news also before we get to some questions that I want to be asking you, because we're not gonna have a legend like Infinite in the fucking building and not ask him some questions about the beginnings and the nows and the future. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. However, Drizzy Drake, mm-hmm. okay, mm-hmm. he's been having this ongoing battle with Kanye West. Just to start off, he has beefed up security on his crib in Calabasas over the weekend.
Kanye?
Drake.
Drake did?
Drizzy Drake has beefed up security.
Oh, Drake beefed up security.
He didn't make no announcement because, you know, he don't be on, like, you know, he doesn't do interviews and shit like that. Yeah. And he didn't go on the gram or anything and said, yo, I beefed up my security, I'm scared.
Yeah.
Right? This TMZ has reported that he's beefed up security, right?
Yeah.
So, boom.
Okay.
Everybody was on some... Kanye must be afraid of Drake because he was like, Drake threatened my life. He went on his whole Twitter rant last Thursday.
Yeah.
Did
you and see then, that? Yeah, he pulled the line from Triple X. The man basically said, oh, if I pass away or die, oh, Drake did it to me. That's what Triple X said before. Like, recently.
Oh, yeah.
Drake did it. So I guess Kanye West is pulling a card out of that man's playbook.
He's like,
yo. Man threatened my life. I don't feel safe.
Kanye said he doesn't feel safe.
Yo, this is a whole. Yo, are you sure? Yo, I think dude sent me the list of the tweets. There's like
I have the tweets.
Yo, there's a whole stream of tweets.
Man, his stream of consciousness.
Yeah.
Wow. So,
and that was last week, right?
Yeah.
So everybody went crazy on the media. Like, is Kanye afraid of Drake? Kanye is, you know, is Drake gonna pull up with the goons or the Canadian goons? They try to clown us with the Canadian goons as if Canadian goons are lesser than or something like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. They could try that from over there.
Exactly. They could try that from over there. Yeah. But they haven't been watching the news lately. This city is flipping.
You know
fire.
One thing though? I went to Jamaica, right? And I met this youth. He's Jamaican, but he moved to the States, but he moved back to, so he's a Yankee.
Yeah.
He's a Yankee, straight Yankee now. He lives in Miami for 6 months and goes back. So I told him, yo, yeah, I'm from Toronto. He's like, I go, yo, you never been to Toronto before? He's like, nah. He's like, nah, I'm trying to stay away from Toronto. Y'all crazy. Like I'm like, how do you know this stuff? He's like, I've been watching the news. You've been watching the news. So the world news is showing them what's going on up here. Everybody's local, like, you know what I'm saying? So they're starting to realize a little something's going on up in Toronto, you know, but they could talk like that over there.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I think they're starting to know now.
They're starting to,
from what you're describing.
Yeah.
And when I go to Montreal every once in a while, and they're like, yo, oh my God, you all right, fam?
Yeah.
Like, I'm good.
Right now, Toronto's just on fire.
Yeah.
It's on too much fire.
Well, however, with this whole Kanye West and Drake back and forward, everybody's like, is Drake afraid of Kanye, or Kanye afraid of Drake?
Yeah.
But then, man, got security beefed up on his crib, right?
Yeah. Hey, remember, he's not an American. He's a Canadian, eh? So
Right. And they live down the block from each other.
I know. Yo, better safe than sorry, right?
I don't know. Strategic.
But how does TMZ know this?
I don't know.
Because TMZ's plugged in.
Well, how does TMZ know if that's what he did?
They're plugged in. They're outside. Exactly. They're outside in the gated community.
Yeah.
They're there with their reporters. They're paparazzis. No, probably the gate guy.
The cable man.
You know? Yeah.
They're in there. They're doing their little investigative reports. Yeah. And then they see the security truck roll up. Probably some cameras being installed. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's some good news.
Yeah.
Probably get Harvey on the phone. Hey, Harvey, yo, we see some cameras over here by Drake's house. Some action.
Yeah.
Stay on it.
Yeah.
You know, so... Because TMZ, they get, I don't know, it's like you say, how do they get it? You know, it's
they
like,
just get it. I don't know, man.
They're just plugged in.
Or somebody was saying on the show I was listening to earlier that they could have got drones. Because, you know, it's California. I think drones are allowed to fly around there and shit like that, right?
Yeah.
So, mans could just have their drones flying over
and see.
And see, so okay, because it's a gated community, right?
Yeah.
So you have to get into the community
now.
First. The
paparazzi don't even have to get in now. They don't have to know nobody. They just sit outside. They
land inside
your
backyard.
Get their drone.
Wow.
Mercenary, are you doing some paparazzi, brother?
Sick drone pilot. Oh, quick thing also, before I get to the last thing on our list here. Last week we were reporting on this whole Maxo Cream. That's the guy's name. Maxo Cream and the NFL gang. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Oh, the guys who got arrested with the burners, the felonies.
Yes.
Oh, the video shoot?
Yes.
Yeah.
So I'm going to show you a picture, okay?
Yeah. That looks like you?
That looks like you, son. I know this guy posted that this is not me.
This is not me, okay? Yo. I'm sitting right here. I'm not on the run.
Yeah.
I'm hosting a podcast. You know,
that look like you.
Subscribe.
That look like you.
That look like you.
Everybody
for a
has
bit.
A doppelganger.
Yeah.
Listen, everybody has a doppelganger.
I got DMs, okay? Yo, fam, this you?
Yeah. DMs too?
I got two DMs. The first one was, fam, this you? Because I think she was like, maybe really wondering, is this you? And I was like, nah, I laugh
this
out loud.
This guy's too cold to be you, Friday. Like, I'm not dissing you or anything, but this guy, you can see in his, like, yo, this guy's
glare.
He's
got that dead look in his eyes.
That glare in his, that look on his feet, that.
Let me see the picture again.
Like, Friday, I know Friday, but, you know, Friday gets down when he needs to get down, but this guy's look is like, yo,
I'm way happier
I've
than
done
that guy.
Shot 50 niggas already. Don't play with me.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's got bodies under his belt. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying Friday isn't about capable of doing what he needs to do to protect himself, but that nigga right there, that gaze,
he's got
that's
demons.
Not Friday.
Yeah. He's got bigger demons than I do.
Yeah. Friday's demons are alcohol. No, his demons are worse.
Yeah. And I got a next one. Shout out to Loco Papi. He sent me one with laughing emojis. He knew he was well in the, he was well aware that wasn't me, but he was just like, I had to send this.
Yeah,
to
but
this
at a quick glance.
Oh man,
just don't bother. Oh yeah, your head is bald. Shit,
I'm bald, man.
Nigga, he always, man,
we
said
almost
don't
had
bald.
The same fade.
Yo,
he's completely bald.
Yeah, the only thing is he has a little patch right here. You got the little chin strap thing going, so you can't go on still. But you don't look like you. It's a quick glance thing.
So for the listening audience, you ain't gonna get to see till we drop the YouTube video
hilarious.
What that looked like. Well, I'm gonna make sure to post that.
I was
in the
looking
YouTube
at
video.
That. I seen you posted it. What the fuck is that? Like,
I posted it in my story.
Oh, you posted it? Oh,
yeah,
okay,
I seen
okay,
it,
okay,
I
okay,
on
okay,
page.
Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah, cause even back to that same story. So. YouTube now, or not YouTube? Oh yeah, YouTube. They made a video. Mm-hmm. It must have got like two, according to the thing, it got 2 million views.
Yeah,
all holding guns, like machine guns, handguns, big guns. Mm. You know, but they're felons. Some of them are felons.
Yes. Already felons.
Yeah, they're already convicted. So you know, you're not supposed to have possession of a firearm.
Yeah.
Let alone be on video possession of a firearm. Doesn't matter.
At a school ground.
And it was a school ground.
They were at a school ground.
Oh Lord.
Because after we left here. You know, I actually did the research.
More, yeah.
We just bawled it out, blah, blah, blah. Then I went home and did the research later.
It was so fresh.
Yeah, it was super fresh at the time.
Yeah.
These motherfuckers are right at a school ground. School let out. Kids jumped in the music video with them.
And they're having burners out in the video with
the
youths them and stuff too.
The youths them are like, yo, it's lit. They're in the video.
That's why.
You ran home and told his mom, and yo, this nigga.
Somebody called the boy them and said, yo, there's mans them with mad guns doing a video out here. Boy them pulled up and they skeeted. So the video didn't come out. They were on the run for the video shoot.
The video, they said the video had 2 million views.
Then they released the video while on the run for the shoot.
Mm.
So, but didn't they get twined up? Because one man got twined up
and got out.
And then he got out on bail, had an ankle bracelet, and the man said, yo, bun the bracelet. I'm on the run. I'm doing the race.
They cut off the bracelet.
Man cut off the bracelet and he's on the run. Like 8 of them out of the whole group, I guess.
Yeah.
He wants to say, yo, fuck it. We're doing the race.
Yeah.
We're gone.
And then they released it.
RIP, one dude got murdered.
Yeah.
In a shootout or whatever, in a club, whatever, and then there's like, yes, these guys are, some of them are still on the run from this act, from being released after the shoot, after the video shoot.
Yeah. That's so they're on some levels of stupidity that I'm not understanding.
Fair. Yeah, you know, say you have conditions, certain conditions. Mm-hmm. You have a bracelet on, and you're barefaced in a video with a hammer.
Yeah.
No. This is before. Like the bracelet comes after the video.
Bracelet came after.
Yeah, after they got
the shoot. The video wasn't even out.
So
yet,
after they got bail or whatever they're
on. The man got bail, came out on the bracelet, and then the man must have just. They say he cut off his bracelet, and he hasn't been seen since.
Wow.
But he's been seen on the music video now.
Because everybody's going to want to watch it, right?
Being on the run without having a music video with 2 million views, that's just not enough. You know, I got to throw out the video now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, the hype is real right now. He's at this deep shit.
Yeah.
Make it interesting.
Like, look, what happened to, like, the kid that did the race? TK?
Oh.
Didn't they sign him? They signed the kid. He was on the run. They signed a kid. Now he got arrested. He's in jail. But they, I guess they signed him before while he was on, like before. I don't. he was working with the labels. He was doing this thing while he was wanted.
It was for his track On the Run.
It was the hottest. Yeah, for his track of being on the run.
Yeah.
That's the whole, the race. That's the whole thing that the whole track's about.
And now,
part one of the video, the man is rolling a blunt or smoking a blunt beside his wanted poster.
In the video?
Yeah.
That's a real wanted poster?
I gotta laugh.
Oh, I don't know. Well, you know, but it's just the, the irony.
No, you probably made that poster.
Most likely.
He's inside now. Now
but still, it's just that you see the type of fuckery that gets like...
How long ago was that video shoot?
Well, that brings me to exactly what I was going to bring into our next subject here. It's kind of Christmas, cause, or a Christmas subject, like, you know, because we're at the end of the year now.
Yeah, yeah.
But this happened in 2018. You know what I mean? I might be wrong. It could be 2017, but I'm feeling this is 2018.
Yeah.
There's so much shit that happened in 2018. It felt like there's 2 years that happened in one.
There's a lot that's true, you know, in the past year.
Yeah, like Bunk, a lot of gang shit. Remember that nigga shot himself?
Yeah, I heard something like that.
Yeah, he was in his
2018.
Whip. Yeah, there's a lot of. Yeah, but what about this guy who passed out in his live the other day?
Is that Bunk?
I don't know. Famous
Dex.
The man was smoking
famous
a blunt.
Famous Dex
the man
passed out.
He passed out on live.
The man must have lit his blunt, took one draw, and then next thing you know, the man looked he was doing the nod. Like, he's just like...
Yeah, he's in bad shape.
Right? And it's like, what the fuck? Like, that's crazy on his live. I don't even know how it ended. After I seen it, I was like, fuck, I can't watch this. This is crazy.
These guys are doing their lean, man. That's what it is, man. Mm-hmm. These guys are doing too much, you know?
Yeah. That's the and that's
but do you think it's because they're trying to mass emotion or is just because they're caught up in the drugs?
You know, that's a hard one to call.
I think definitely the drugs has a big influence on that, because how high do you want to get? So he's probably high, knocking out, ready to spark the blunt, like you said.
Mm-hmm.
Already probably how much lean he's probably drinking already.
Yep.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't know, man. These guys kill me.
That motherfucker told me at the mouth. For fucking
different generation.
Wow. Different generation.
Yeah. Anytime you see that guy, Famous Dex, on camera,
this
nigga's got like crusties coming up to here, bro.
Yeah.
I'm just like, damn, nigga, you rich.
Yeah.
And your niggas in the room ain't like, yo, fat, wipe your
mouth. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're just, they don't care. They're just there.
They're on the ride.
They're not brethren. Those are yes men.
Mm-hmm.
It's track hot, yes, man. It's just yes, man. That's all they do. They just yes. Even if the man needs to hear the truth, they're not going to give him the truth.
Stay rich. As long as you can stay rich, it's yes.
Yeah.
As soon as that nigga start getting poor, he can be like, I don't know, fam. I don't know. You might want to rethink that.
Yeah.
We running out of dough right now, son.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah, the man niggas can't cut it no more.
Niggas going to be like, wake up, son, you're on live. You know what I mean? Because niggas let him fall asleep unless he's in the room by himself.
Yeah, he was in the room. It seemed to be in the room by himself.
Well, he need not to be alone.
Christmas
time. What are y'all doing for Christmas? What do you got planned for Christmas, Infinite?
You know, Christmas time, you don't know, it's another holiday, but I mean, it's a time where we get together with family.
Mm.
You know, and the kids look forward to it. You know?
Yeah.
But you know, it's another pagan holiday, but you don't know.
Mm.
The kids are looking forward to Christmas.
Yeah.
I don't lie to them about no Santa Claus, none of that.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
This is what it is. We just spend time with family, you know, get together, you know?
That's how it should be. That's how it should be.
Also, the real meaning, the same thing. Like, family, Christmas is for the youth then, but really we're going to get together, enjoy each other's company. But yeah, it's really for the kids.
Not
celebrating, it's like you said, Santa Claus or any of that stuff. We're celebrating family time. So basically, it's just a time for the fam.
Yeah.
So it's a bonus Santa Claus?
It's not a bonus Santa Claus, but we know what it's about. You know what I'm saying? It's more commercial. Yeah. Now it's all about how many gifts you're buying for people and, you know, like all of that. But
As for us, it's born Santa Claus. But, you know, for the kids, they don't want to hear. They're going to be hurt.
That's what I mean. That's what it means. For us, an adult, born Santa Claus. Yeah. Like, born the whole flipping idea of Christmas.
Yeah.
So, but for the youth, Christmas. They want their list. They got their list. You know, so.
But what, let me ask you guys this. After your hard work and money, you buying all the gifts, doing all the work, forgot to tell the kids them, says Santa. You know what I'm saying to you? I'd rather them know, say, this is from me. This is from, you know what I'm saying? Ain't no Santa Claus, man. Like, you know how hard it took me to get this? You know?
Yeah.
But, you know, shout out to all the parents, them that are, you know, doing their thing and letting their kids feel good on the holidays. You know what I mean?
Yeah. You know who else is cheesed about, or not cheesed, but is not a big fan of Santa Claus?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
Of course not.
Because technically, is that mother? Well, I'm gonna call him motherfucker. That's some real ghetto shit. That's that dude's birthday. That's Jesus' birthday.
Yeah.
Right.
But
so they say
it's Christmas. So they say, right?
Yeah.
So the story goes, right? And I'm doing the quotation fingers for the people in the listening audience. But that's Jesus' birthday.
Yeah.
However, ain't nobody talking about him. They even changed it to Xmas. It's Santa Claus's holiday.
Yeah.
He totally stole the show. Like, if there was like a track, he came with the hottest 16, and nobody even remembers that Jesus rapped on the tune.
Right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Shined on his own track.
Yeah.
Everybody's thinking about Santa Claus not really realizing what's really going on, the reality of it.
Yeah.
On Jesus' birthday, you know what I'm saying?
To even get to Jesus' birthday, to even go deeper, like, you know, that might not even be true in the first place.
Yeah.
They haven't even gotten there. They're just stuck on Santa.
Yeah.
Santa got the big red suit and everything, and the, and he's just blocking the way, fam. Yeah, he's just like, Jesus, woo. That's the guy who cleans your pool, Jesus. No, that's not Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, that's basically how they're dealing with him.
You know what I'm saying? So shout out to Jesus, yo. You know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Take your holiday back, fam.
Yeah.
Might need to do an appearance. That's what the thing is. Because Santa be, as far as all the television shows, all the commercials, he's popping up in chimneys. He's out there.
He's a man making an appearance.
Yeah.
Show his face.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? He needs to come through and do one little Christmas thing so the kids are like, oh, yeah, that's.
See that? That's brainwashing our kids, babe. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' birthday and all this Santa Claus stuff.
Yo,
it's not even a, you know what I'm saying?
He's got people break. Yo, Santa Claus is the new Kaiser Soze, fam. Okay?
Yeah.
Let me tell you something.
Wow.
He's got people convinced, one, that Jesus is not the one who runs Christmas, right? That's not his holiday. Two, he's got all the kids convinced that their parents are not the ones giving them the gifts.
Yeah, it's like.
It he's
like
taking all the credit.
That's like not right, was saying. It was like saying you work hard all year. You buy your kids gifts, and then they're like, oh, Santa got this for me. Wicked.
Yeah, respect. And they're not even looking at you.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, Lee,
well,
like,
you go get me.
Respect, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're just saying, like, okay, don't, Santa got
Santa,
that.
Wow, Santa came true.
Yes.
With the new kicks and the jeans and
everything.
That, everything I wanted, Santa came true.
New so, iPhone, Android, everything.
So Santa linked up. What are you going to do for me, Dad? Like, Wait a minute. Hold on. You got to take the credit back.
After you done spend peer money, then they're going to look at you and think that, what are you going to do, you know?
Mm-hmm. Kaiser Soze.
Nah, we gotta switch that up, though. Straight up, man.
You know what I'm saying?
Kaiser Soze.
Yeah. Okay.
That's a good one, Corey.
I'm going to take a quick, we're going to take a quick music break here.
Okay, right. What's this?
You know what I'm saying? I got a tune here by Zeebo. How You Want It. Let me make sure my levels are all good here.
It's me, right?
Mm-hmm. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
For your own bitch. FYO, you did gang shit.
Episode 102.
Look.
So how do you want it? I make them plays, grabbing them coins, dash like Sonic. I be up on it, you know we got it. So how do you want it? 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 I make them plays, grabbing them coins, dash like Sonic. I be up on it, you know we got it. So how do you want it? So how do you want it?
So how do you want it?
You know what we do, in and out the stew. Some just call me Sue, with my nigga too. Like, who is you? Pull up in the...
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, yeah. All right, so we are back with another sixth list. And we got a special one here. To me, is a very special one because it's a personal one for me as well, right? This is a gentleman that I've known for many years. You know what I'm saying? I've seen him grow through life and through his accomplishments as well. You know what I mean? So I'm very proud to be able to sit with this gentleman here today and get our chop it up on. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
So with no further ado, we have Antwi Buns Antuhen. You know what I'm saying?
Mm.
And for a lot of people who see him on Instagram and stuff like that, they see him as Noir A Noir, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But let's get into that right away, okay? Before we get to the buns part.
Okay, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So, okay, so let's talk about Noir A Noir and that movement that you're championing, right? And the website. Because you got the website pumping, you know what I'm saying? It says you specialized in event culture, creative design, content and storytelling, marketing, consulting, and merchandising. That's a lot of stuff, man. So, like, tell us about that whole movement and how that came together.
Perfect. Well, first of all, I'm definitely honored to be here. Friday to me is, like, one of my big brothers in the city that really taught me how to not just hustle, but do it effectively.
Mm.
You know, when I was 16, 17 years old, backstory, before we get directly into it, Friday used to pick me up, drop me at the studio, come back, drop a 16, or he'd be writing his 16 on the back of a McDonald's bag, come to the studio, we're doing mixtapes and making sure everything else is coordinated, running an enterprise by himself, and that put that in my head at a young age of being an entrepreneur, so I always thank him and look up to him for that.
Yeah,
so,
I appreciate that, man.
Noir and Noir started off as Ball Noir years ago, and which was just basically something that I would do for the city in terms of community events. I started on my T-Dot shirt. Because I traveled so much, I wanted something that can represent my city everywhere I go.
Mm-hmm.
So I had that T-Dot logo. And over time, as I matured, I wanted to take the ball out of it so I can be a lot more versatile in things that I was starting to do.
Mm-hmm.
So we changed it, or we modified it to Noir Noir, kind of like Rockefeller going to Rock Nation.
Mm-hmm.
And by this time, I was already in the fields of marketing, event planning, doing luxury events, brand managing for players and artists as well at the same time.
Okay.
And it's consulting for a lot of, being the middleman between a lot of deals.
Right.
Things that the NBA agents and the players are having miscommunication, I'm the middle person in between that, communicating for both sides.
Dope.
So things, I was doing stuff like that. And obviously the ethos of Noir and Noir is storytelling.
Mm.
So most of our work or our events or our merchandise all tell a story.
Yeah.
Like with our Kings merchandise, I want people to be able to look at all those names, and even if they don't know who they are, go do the research.
Mm.
So now when you're wearing something, you know the storyline behind it, and vice versa with the Queens. Even a lot of the events is geared towards integrating sports, entertainment, educating a little bit, mm-hmm. and then merchandise all in one. So you're getting an experience without even thinking. You're nice. Getting to the experience like, this is amazing. But when you leave, like, I purchased a shirt. I learned a little bit about my culture. I had fun watching a basketball game, and I heard some dope music.
Mm.
So it's all in one that you're getting without even noticing.
Yeah.
So it's that fusion or that integration what makes us stand out and be pretty special.
Yeah, so like Noir Noir is like more of a lifestyle than anything.
It's more of a lifestyle brand.
Yeah,
of a lifestyle brand. That's what we curated as.
Yeah, yeah.
And it doesn't literally stand for black on black. It's like black woman, black man. Mm-hmm. But it just stands for just being excellent in anything you do.
Yeah.
There's not really a color pattern towards it. It's just really in the fact of trying to be the best in what you do, be excellent, practice great habits.
Yeah,
yeah.
And even like to piggyback on black excellence, you know what I mean? It's a term that I've seen grown through 2018. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's become like a prominent term that a lot of people have been using in the media. What is black excellence to you, like, and the importance of it?
Well, for me, black excellence is a mentality.
Mm-hmm.
It's being proud of who you are and where you're from, and sharing that message equally in the right way. And what it means to me, my parents are from Ghana. I come from a rich African background. My father was a Black Panther. So I grew up differently. I grew up on the Malcolm X. I grew up on the Eldridge Cleaver. I grew up on, you know, Huey P. Newton. And I grew up on understanding these different things. So now when I put it into my work, I have the research behind me that can back it up.
Mm-hmm.
So black excellence to me is more so understanding where you're from, being proud of where you're from, and helping other people understand where they're from, be proud of where they're from as well.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it really is.
Yeah, yeah. And like, you know, and we're going to go through all these different things that you've gone through, right?
Mm-hmm.
For somebody who's been through basketball, right? Like into the sports, somebody who spits hot fire.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? What inspired you to start this brand in the first place?
You know, it wasn't really so much of an inspiration. It kind of just happened organically.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with starting Ball Noir, I started with, like, you know what? I'm traveling in all these cities. I was the first guy really championing Drake or championing all these other people from our city while I was playing basketball at Arizona State or in college. I was making sure people knew about my city and the music and where I'm from and our culture. So I felt like I needed something that can symbolize that. And that's how Bon Noir started. Mm. And now it just literally, it grew legs and matured into Noir, and Noir as I matured.
Yeah.
You know, so it's organic.
Okay, okay. And I see you like on IG with like rocking a lot of the clothes and even like the dope jacket you got right now, yeah. You know what I mean? And a t-shirt, right? And you got like different people. Like, first of all, you got big names like Bernadette from Glam Squad. Who else? You got DJ Yasmina. You got all these different people rocking the brand. Like, so how did you even like, how did you connect to start getting the branding on all these different entertainers and stuff?
You know what? And this is the true story. The background of all of this stuff is I try to give everyone, I treat everyone like they're celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really, it doesn't matter to me of how much of a following they have or what their name is. Anyone who's rocking my brand, I try to repost it and give them that love the same way.
Yeah.
And because of my network already, it was cool for the fact that I knew these people beforehand and they supported it. So it was like automatic, like, okay, you support my brand, I support you, you'll post it and it'll be organic.
Yeah.
I don't like to force anything. I understand, like, one day someone who bought your brand can be like a quote unquote nobody, if you want to say that,
mm-hmm.
and in 6 months they have 10.5 million followers and
yeah.
they're the biggest rapper or the biggest entertainer or the biggest whatever they are in their field.
Yeah.
So I put everyone on the same playing field. There's no red carpet for me.
Definitely. And okay, so let's go back.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You grew up in Rexdale.
Yes.
Notorious hood, you know what I'm saying? What was that experience like for you, like pre-teens going into teenage life?
Growing up in Rexdale, Deuce and Trey's, Humberline,
mm-hmm.
It was an experience that molded me for life because I seen so much at a young age. And always being like the 12, 13-year-old, hanging out with guys that were 16, 17, 18 sometimes, and made me mature faster. And just being... I had to become street smart.
Yeah.
I had to become street savvy. I had to pay attention to people's body language
mm-hmm,
if I didn't know what they were saying. I had to understand what crowds I need to be involved in and what crowds I don't need to be involved with if I want to be successful.
Yeah.
I couldn't make the mistakes I've seen other people make, which landed them in a bad situation
mm-hmm.
or else I wouldn't be successful.
Yeah.
So I think growing up in Rexdale helped me with everything I'm doing in life. Like, there's nowhere I don't go in the world and I feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And I've lived in Juarez, Mexico. I'm in the third ward in Houston. Mm-hmm. It don't matter. I'm comfortable everywhere because I grew up in Rexdale.
Yeah.
It's like having survival instincts, you know? So it molded me on that. And on top, it molded me to be, like, a very versatile individual because I wanted to be the best in everything.
Mm-hmm.
So whether we're playing basketball, whether we're rapping, whether we're playing baseball, whether it's, like, who's going to get that chick, whether it's going to be, like, who's dressing the flies, that's Rexdale super competitive.
Yeah.
It's ultra competitive, so I wanted to compete. And it taught me to compete with every and anybody. Doesn't matter who you are and where you're from, that's how I was.
Yeah.
So Rexdale was huge for me. It's everything.
And even like from a young age, you're playing ball, you're rapping. Which one of the two was your first passion, basketball or rapping?
Basketball was my first passion, but music was, before I started rapping, music was a big passion of mine growing up because my father had all these records.
Mm-hmm.
You have every morning or every Sunday, he's playing all these records from like Miles Davis, Marvin Gaye, James Brown was one of his favorites.
Mm-hmm.
And so we grew up in a musical household. So when New Edition and Bobby Brown came out, we was mimicking their moves in the house.
Yeah.
So I grew up in this level where I didn't even know I can rap because I used to be rapping all these other people's lyrics and memorizing it. My father one day was like, yo, how do you know all these guys' songs? I'm like, I don't know. I just listen to them when I memorize it.
Yeah.
Like, just, you know, you can do your own thing too. And that's when I developed that skill. So basketball is my first passion, but simultaneously, music always been there in my life.
Yeah.
And it's only now that I understand to integrate the two.
Yeah.
Because to me, they're forms of entertainment.
No, it's true.
You know, so.
It's true. Yeah. And like, was it always something that you wanted to do, or was there anything you ever wanted to do before, like basketball or rapping?
I was playing soccer at a young age, but I didn't have a passion to drive myself until I really seen like Isaiah Thomas and Michael Jordan on the court.
Yeah.
And then I really heard like Reasonable Doubt at a young age, and I'm like, I can be that.
Yeah.
I need to feel how he's feeling. Like, I understood what he was doing. So those two things kind of drove me. And and I knew it was never done. Like, to be like a high level basketball player and be a high level rapper.
Yeah.
Never done, period. So I'm like, I'm gonna do that.
Yeah.
If someone never do it, I'm gonna do that. That's how I felt.
And then you started playing ball in the States.
Yeah.
So how did that come together? Because I know you started playing ball for Arizona State.
Mm-hmm.
And prior to that, you're going to another school. in Texas or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, Trinity Valley.
Right. So, okay, tell us that story of, because I know the story.
Yeah.
But for the people who don't know, how did that whole thing come together? Because a lot of people don't get to go to play ball in the States from
yeah,
Canada.
I mean, and growing up, it was like, even my parents, even though they're super supportive, without even knowing, they thought this basketball thing was just a thing to do.
Mm.
It wasn't as glamorized as it is now, because we didn't have that many people leaving Canada to go to America and go to the NBA mm-hmm. at this time. So growing up, it was like, people were like, you really can't get a scholarship.
Yeah.
It was difficult. So I told myself I was going to get one. So I worked myself to be the number one player in Canada for like the last 2 years of my high school.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to all these big time camps in America because I was doing really well on the court.
Yeah.
And from there, I built a lot of momentum and a lot of big time schools started recruiting me. From them recruiting me, I had some high level scholarship offers. I went. I signed a scholarship to Rutgers University in the Big East.
Mm.
I couldn't go because of a clearinghouse issue with my paperwork and my transcripts.
Okay.
So that's why I had to go to junior college, the hard route, to Trinity Valley University.
Mm.
It's a 2-year school, but I graduated there in 1 year. I did all my work for one. I didn't come back home
right.
for 1 year, so I can have 3 years to play in Division One. And then I went to Arizona State to play Division One over there.
Okay. And in that time, what was one of your most, like, it's because that's a big deal, right?
Mm.
What was one of your most memorable moments, like, and like out that being out there in Arizona? And quick side note, for the people who don't know, Arizona State was like, I don't know, I think it was the number one party college
right.
in Playboy magazine or something right. like that, they said at one
100%.
Point.
So I was going to school, like, in some of my courses, I have like 3 Playboy.
Wow.
Ladies in there.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it was number one party school in the world. For like 5 years.
Wow.
Crazy. Amazing experience. My number one experience probably, I have two. One, a basketball experience when we played UCLA, their number one team,
mm-hmm.
like Jordan Farmer and all those guys. We were winning. I had almost a triple-double. And at the end of the game, Jordan Farmer went by me and hit a game winner.
Mm.
The next game we played was on the road against Oregon. I did the same thing, had a game winner on them.
Mm.
But it wasn't UCLA, so that was a memorable moment for me because I kind of redeemed myself. And that was my first year at the school.
Yeah.
So it was a memorable moment for me. And then another memorable moment for me is just throwing the amazing parties in Arizona State and having NBA players like Amari Stoudemire,
mm-hmm.
Sean Marion, those guys come and show love at our events or whatever we're doing.
Yeah.
That kind of sparked it. I didn't even know what I was doing at the time, but now I know, like, okay, that sparked it since college.
Mm.
Like, being in that environment is what I'm doing now makes so easy.
Dope.
Yeah.
Dope.
And there's a lot of other things that were crazy, but we can't discuss on camera. So
that's pre-Instagram.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Pre-Instagram days. Right.
Wow. And then, as far as memorable moments, during that time that you were going through, you know, all of this crazy basketball moments and stuff like that in Arizona State, there was a time in front of the Phoenix nightclub.
Right.
Okay. Where we met. All right, I was outside the club handing out some flyers for my mixtape, The Connect Volume 2 at the
right.
time. Do you remember what you told me?
Yeah, I remember because I just had came back to the city.
Mm-hmm.
I was just about to go to Arizona State, and I was walking with two of my good friends, and I seen you out there. I remember I seen you before, and I'm like, what you got? And you're talking about music. I'm like, I'm the best rapper in Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Like, don't even worry. I don't even want to hear none of this. I'm the best rapper. And this is when everyone was out. I'm like, I'm the best rapper.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, what? You're not the, like, who are you? Like, who's doing? I'm like, all right, I'll spit some right now.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that's how we kind of built a relationship from there. Then the next day we went to the studio.
Mm-hmm.
Then the next day we dropped that song when it said, what's that song we dropped? We actually went on the Connect
mm-hmm.
mixtape. When it said, I'm not Beanie Man, but I check me for the proper fixing. King of the battleground, the hood Phil Dixon.
Hey.
I'm the Messiah, Vi the Messiah. Every chick on my roster look like Mariah.
Hey.
So that's what we, then the next day we dropped that right away. It was
yeah.
And we started from there.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right? I basically remade or I repressed the volume, Connect Volume 2 mixtape, mm-hmm. added an extra tune. We started recording the mixtape. Ghetto News / Deuces and Trays.
That was crazy.
With the newspaper cover.
That was crazy.
Right? And that back then, Project Bounce was going crazy.
Right.
The Hip Hop Canada message boards were going crazy. Right? So tell me that experience about flying back and forth from Arizona back to Toronto, Arizona back to Toronto.
Yeah.
Like, what were you going through in them times?
I mean, a lot of people want to understand that part of the grind because I was really playing high-level Division I basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I was an NBA prospect. Guys were not leaving school. They were staying on campus to work on their game, work on their classwork. During my spare time, I was writing bars
because
I'm preparing to drop some music when I come back, not just for me, but for my hood.
Yeah.
This is like everything for these guys. Like, so I was focused on trying to balance the two. Mm-hmm. And it drove me. It gave me like an extra push.
Yeah.
Because I never ever wanted to lose touch with my city.
Yeah.
And that's why that first, after the Ghetto News mixtape, when we did the Welcome Deuce and Trays, mm-hmm. that's why, that's probably the best mixtape I ever did. Because I put all of my heart and soul into that one.
Yeah.
You know, so it was difficult, but I liked it. I enjoyed that process of like, okay, you guys maybe can stay here and play basketball, but I got to go back to Toronto and start, continue my rap career.
Yeah.
You know, so it was a great process for me.
And explain to the people, for the people who, because like around that time, right? Because like while you're explaining it, it's bringing me back these memories and stuff, right? That's like 07, 05, yeah. those times, right? So what was the city like, the hip hop scene in the city like?
The hip hop scene in the city was very, very, it started to become competitive, but those days in the hip hop scene was about bars.
Mm.
So you had like, what's that group name again? There are guys like Scandalous and those guys.
It was Empire.
Empire was there. You had, I think, JD Era from the Saga side,
mm-hmm.
my guy. You had Lou Breeze was on a come up too at that time.
Yeah.
And then you had Drake. Mm-hmm. Just starting up with like Bishop Agrante, mm-hmm. and I think JD, they had a little group going on or something
Wise
like that.
Wise Guys.
Wise Guys. And then you had another other rappers like from Jungle and et cetera. Mm-hmm. You had Illy Ill and Payback, rest in peace, mm-hmm. from Rex. So we had a lot of like competitive spitters.
Yeah.
Like if you couldn't rap in Toronto those days, I'm not saying anyone can't rap now, but those days you had to be able to spit. It was very confrontational. You see someone who can rap and you know them, we might have to battle in the street.
Mm-hmm.
So the battle culture was heavy.
Yeah.
Whether it's in the music or you see each other on the street. Like Carabana weekend, we're going to Carabana knowing we have to battle along the whole strip.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing like if I see Scandalous, we have to battle Scandalous.
Yeah.
If we see JD, we have to battle. Like knowing in our minds, so be ready. Be known. That's what the rap scene was like in Toronto.
Yeah. People gotta go back and do their hood Googles and stuff like that.
For sure.
You know what I mean?
For sure.
In 2012, when I came home, right, we did two collabo mixtapes,
mm-hmm.
like right away, back to back, Instant Classics 1 and 2, right? What was going on in your life around those times in 2012?
In 2012, I'd been out of school for, I think, 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
My last year at Arizona State didn't go as planned, so I didn't get drafted, and then I started playing pro overseas, but when you play professional overseas, it's more of a cutthroat business.
Yeah.
So I felt like the love for the game of basketball is kind of dwindling away. And then I've already kind of reciprocated some energy from the music side
mm-hmm.
that I didn't want to put out. So like rapping at a young age and being pretty good and walking around with all of my friends and being with all of my friends, and even when I leave, they're carrying around this energy.
Mm-hmm.
When you come back to the city, it gets reciprocated.
Yeah.
So we're running into issues with people and just a lot of going back and forth. So where I was at in my life, I was really just trying to figure out a way that I can still do this thing that I love, but grow at it without being put in that box. You know, that's what it really was.
Yeah. And like you mentioned the overseas playing pro, right? I remember I used to see on Instagram and stuff like that, because that's when Instagram was young.
It was brand new, yeah.
Right? But I used to see you like in China and stuff, playing ball and stuff. What was that experience like?
You know what? Playing in China, playing in Lebanon, living in Juarez, Mexico, which is the crime capital of the world, mm-hmm. for 2 years. Living in Colombia, in Santa Marta, in Barranquilla. These places, like, it's like another education.
Yeah.
It's like the game of basketball could take you so far, but learning people and understanding the universal language, which is body language.
Yeah.
Which is energy. I couldn't speak the language in a lot of these places, but people can feel my energy. Mm-hmm. And I can understand, like, well, maybe I shouldn't get into this cab driver in Juarez, because he looks like he's trying to drive me to an alley where the cartel is at.
Mm.
Like, understand, like, you know what, he may not be good for me.
Yeah.
These things molded me for life, like maybe super cultured and diverse, and helped me in the business world as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was the best experience ever.
Yeah.
Like, I wouldn't trade it for anything. Like, even a better experience than being in the NBA.
Yeah.
A lot of guys you see in the NBA, you guys don't know, they're squares. They're not really, don't think because they have money or in the league, like, they're cool. They're not really cool like that. I'll tell you that from now.
Yeah. Money don't make you cool.
Don't make
man.
You cool. Like, they're not really, they don't really go like that.
Yeah, you can come in a square, you get $1 million, you're still going to be a motherfucker.
You're still a
square.
Still a square. You're still a square.
Yeah.
But I still got a lot of love for a lot of guys, just saying some people just, the perception is not the reality. You have to understand that. But being able to travel around the world has, like, opened my eyes to everything.
Yeah.
Like, even my opinions are not opinions anymore.
Mm-hmm.
There's always, it could be something different behind it. Like, give people a third chance.
Yeah.
You know?
So, yeah. Now, you're not you don't play ball anymore, but you're still heavily involved in the basketball, just in the basketball culture and everything, right? So now, let me see what we have here. I see you're doing something called the Invite Only League.
Right.
Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Perfect. I'm glad we touched on Invite Only League. Invite Only League is something I started over this past this year with a couple of other like-minded friends, but I'm leading the charge in getting the top prospects in different cities. Mm-hmm. We're starting off with Arizona, and not just getting the top prospects, grooming them in a way that we're giving them the codes or some information that they wouldn't get from just their coaches.
Yeah.
We're bringing in NBA Hall of Famers to speak to them. We're giving them NBA combine testing. We're kind of polishing their game at the same time, mm-hmm. but getting them ready to transition from high school to college and from college to the pros, whether it's the NBA or it's professional life, period. Sick. So we're getting, and we're doing it, I'm not saying no one has ever done it, but we're doing it with exclusivity, right? We're just getting 20 to 30 guys. We're not getting a group of 100 and saying you have to pay this. There's no fee. Yeah. It's kids we want to work with, you know, and there's no media. We shut the media out. So just us and the kids, and we're giving them a network where they can have a mentor. It's really a mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
Now they know anytime they want, they're going through a rough time, they may not want to talk to their coach, they may not want to talk to their mom, they may not want to talk to their teammate, they can call me, mm-hmm. they can email me. Like, this was, I'm going through, big bro, like, I need some help, I need some advice.
Yeah.
We're just giving them some resources and a channel where they can reach out to. Because it's difficult having a lot of pressure on you at 16, 17 years old
yeah.
to perform every single day. Because yeah. your family's depending on you to get to college and then get to the NBA.
Yeah.
So we're trying to give them some resources to kind of relieve some of that pressure. That's what it's really for.
That's dope, man. That's super appreciate dope, it. Man. Okay, so like, even with all of that, right? Like, this life skills and lessons that you've learned through basketball in Arizona and like overseas and stuff mm-hmm. like that, and in the rap scene, like especially in that crazy time in the rap scene back right. in those times, right? Do you feel that they've transferred over to your current endeavors?
1,000%. They transferred over before I knew it. Mm-hmm. I didn't understand it yet. And then when I understood that these skills were transferring over, I started looking for other skills I can transfer over mm-hmm. into my actual professional endeavors in my real life.
Yeah.
Now, everything is like an integration from your collaboration because I'm a versatile individual. So I collaborate all these different things and I put it into a pot and I give it to someone so they can learn it.
Yeah.
That's literally what I do with everything. And I put the medicine in the dessert. Mm-hmm. I sneak it in. They don't understand what they're going on until they leave. Like, okay, yeah, I came to your event, I heard a new rapper, I played basketball, and I'm wearing a Queen shirt that has Nefertiti. I don't even know who that is. Mm-hmm. Let me research it. Okay, now I know. Okay, now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? So it's literally all in one. Just giving them culture, like architects of culture, pretty
dope,
much.
Dope. Okay, so let's talk about, you know, as we speak about culture, right?
Mm-hmm.
Afro Culture Weekend,
mm-hmm.
right? Specifically in Houston. There was the one that you did in July with the Noir de Noir event, right? Mm. Tell us a little bit how that came together and just the whole Afro Culture Weekend yeah. in general.
So a lot of people don't know this, but I think Houston has the number one population in North America with Africans and pretty much like Nigerians and Ghanaians, West Africa.
Really?
In North America. So it's a heavy African population there. I have a couple of cool business associates that were, and guys who were playing like on Houston Rockets that were from Africa.
Mm-hmm.
And and this is the time that Black Panther came out.
Yeah.
Right, so the whole thing was this Wakanda Forever type thing. So I wanted to educate people about kind of African heritage mm-hmm. without throwing it in their face. So I kind of did like a whole weekend of events, which people can have fun, but learn at the same time. And I think the last event I did there was the Black Excellence Brunch.
Okay.
In Houston on the Sunday at the Four Seasons,
yeah.
which was we got a chance to speak, we got a chance to create community, create a village within each other and like and network with each other
yeah.
and eat some good food at a great establishment. So I think that was like the capper of everything in it, and it came about by just me thinking of, let me find a way that I can evoke some change and evoke some conversation and have people start, let's dig deeper into who we are as people so yeah. now our kids growing up can be on a higher playing field than us. That's how I was thinking.
Dope. Yeah. And even like You hooked up with like some big name partners like the Four Seasons, Remy Martin, Ebony Magazine.
Right.
Like for young entrepreneurs out there, like how do you connect with brands like that? You know what I mean?
The main thing you have to realize as a young entrepreneur going into brands is either you're leveraged or you're being leveraged. Mm-hmm. So what can you offer their problem? Every business has a problem. You have to figure out what their problem is. Now you have to be the solution seeker. Mm-hmm. So before you go into all these meetings or even seeking help or collaborations, find out what the solution is to their problem ahead of time and be ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
So now when you're speaking or when you're involved with in these negotiations, you have all the leverage because I know what your problem is. Your problem is connecting to the African demographic or the kid or the people from the African diaspora.
Yeah.
Cool. I already got that in the back end. So now when I approach this negotiation while we're speaking, I sprinkle it in there.
Mm.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I know what you guys need. Well, this is what I already have. And now you're ahead of the wave. So going into that, you have to understand the solutions and the problems of a lot of these businesses, and understand the people running these businesses are more alike than not to you.
Yeah,
they're more alike you. So when you know that, it's half the battle.
Yeah,
you know, like that's my relationships now. I don't even deal with the presidents of these companies now. Like I don't even talk to anyone else. If you're not talking to the president, I can't talk to you.
Yeah, because I'm
going to the top of the food chain now because I built it to that level. I didn't come and talk about I want to talk to the president.
Yeah.
I talked to the custodian first and get him on the ground, and then I can go to the president. So now that's where we're at.
Dope. Even like, yeah, man, that's super dope because like a lot of people need, like a lot of people are trying to get in, and then when they're in, they're like, how do I go further, right?
Right.
So this is very important jewels for people.
That and are, I'm doing seminars next year, 2019, only in Toronto. Seminars only in Toronto. I'm only giving game for people in Toronto.
Dope.
Because my job is to take all this information from all the other places in America and overseas, wherever, and give back to my city, you know, and doing it 2019 for sure.
Dope. I have two differences questions.
Mm-hmm.
Because you mentioned a few times during our conversation here about how you connected with the African community in these different places like Houston and, you know, over here in Toronto, like there's a... In Rexdale and different places, there's a heavy African community, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think what's the difference between the African community here, or just in all places, and the West Indians that migrate over here?
You know what it is? It's really deeper because.
Sorry to interrupt you. And as somebody who's been living in the States, add the American. Just the black American also into there too.
So for some reason, because of history, you have to dig deep. Because of history, all three from Africans, from African culture, from the West Indian, from West Indian culture, and African Americans, all three have been put against each other without them knowing it.
Mm.
So there's always this underlining competition of we're better than you when we're all the same.
Yeah.
Through slavery, through heredity and environment, it's just way deeper than what we can fix on the surface.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why you have the African Americans that say Africans say we're better than we think we're better than them, and then you have the West Indian people that say no, I'm not African. I'm from Jamaica. I'm not African. Or I'm from Trinidad. I'm not. And then you have the Africans rebelling versus them saying no, you're not African. You are from where you're from.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all not all, and this not for all people. Some people do get it.
Yeah,
this is a disclaimer. Not all people, but there's always that underlying competition because. In history, we've been put against each other already.
Mm.
In history, we were selling ourselves to people. We were being sold. We were selling our own people. So already we're putting against each other.
That's
why even like Jay-Z said in his in What's Free and Meek said it, like you'd rather put a hole in your friend and these record companies are taking money from you guys.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it's always that competition, the underlying factor. And I feel like I don't know if we can get to a solution yet, but I think it's work in progress.
Yeah.
But there's definitely always competition between all three. We don't see each other as one being.
Yeah.
Yet. We don't understand that. They don't, like when you're getting pulled over in America and they don't care if you're West Indian, if you're from Nigeria, or if you're from Cleveland, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
You're the same thing. They don't care about that.
So until
we realize that we're all the same thing, we're not going to move forward.
Yeah. Facts. Super facts.
Yeah.
Okay. So even to continue with like that differences question, right? As somebody who's been in the States for so many years and been going back and forward between the States and Canada, right? Mm-hmm. What do you see as a big difference between Americans and Canadians?
I feel like, here's the biggest thing, and it's an easy one. In America, for sure, I can be walking down the street and 98 or 95% of even the neighborhoods that are like tough neighborhoods, and because I'm black and they're black, they'll say, what up to me? What's up, brother? How you doing?
Yeah.
Right away. In Canada, or Toronto, for say, you see somebody that looks like you, and you don't even know where he's from, and automatically you're screwing your face at him. Mm. Or you're having this long stare down competition for 11 seconds while you're walking by each other. Like, what are we doing here? Like, why are we just staring at each other for no reason? Yeah. Are we going to acknowledge each other or are we not? Like, yeah, in America, they'll see you in the airport. What's up, brother? How you doing, brother, man? Everything good? He can be the hardest gangster in the world.
Mm.
In Toronto, can be the biggest punk. But he's looking at you like he wants to do something to you and you don't even know this guy. Like, why are we having this stare down competition?
Yeah.
Like, that's the biggest thing I already noticed.
Okay.
Like, even it's running with this notion of the screw face capital. Mm-hmm. Like, why are we screwing our face at each other for what? We don't even have a problem with each other, but we're screwing our face.
Yeah.
I don't even know you to have a problem with you. Like, the person that I really got a problem with, I might even screw my face at him. I'm mad at him. But you're screwing your face on someone, a complete stranger.
Yeah.
That you don't know. Like, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay, so, yeah, that is a
100%
major issue.
You people get mad at you in America when you do not speak. You ain't seen me, bro? Like, what's going on? What's up? How you doing? You good? You must not be from here. Yeah. Just like that. You're supposed to speak.
Yeah. Dope. What can we expect from you? And I call you Buns. I'm so used to calling you Buns rather than Antwi.
Yeah.
Right? Where'd you get the name Buns from?
When the Belly movie came out,
mm-hmm.
In my neighborhood, all the older guys, because I don't remember how old I was, but I was real young, like a preteen. I was like a teenager.
Yeah.
I used to come out and impersonate DMX.
Mm.
How he used to act. I knew the movie like verbatim.
So
I used to come out every single day and be like, put a little bit in the bag. Every single day, I was doing that impersonation. Like, yo, where Buns at, man?
Yeah,
be like, we don't want Tweety today. We want Buns. Be Buns today.
Mm.
And that, like, it went from that being like that to being on the basketball court.
Yeah.
Like, when I used to like not be playing well, my bros would be in the crowd like, you got to turn into Buns. Then I turn into that character, kind of like Kobe at the Black Mamba. Mm. And then when it comes to like a rap battle, it was like, you got to be Buns today. That aggression, that alpha male, that dominant figure that he just don't care.
Yeah.
He don't give a fuck. Like, whatever, we're winning by unapologetically, no, we're going for it.
Yeah.
That's what Buns meant to our community.
Yeah.
So that's what, like, yo, you're Buns. Like, that's you. So that's where it came from.
Sick.
When I met DMX in Arizona, I told him, like, you know, I'm running around, they call me Buns. He's like, all right, that's cool, that's what's up. He's left alone. I'm like, all right, cool, whatever. I thought he was going to acknowledge me or something. Like, all right, that's what's up, all right, whatever, cool.
Yeah. He was just like, whatever. He was on some next shit.
Right.
Free X,
you already know.
What can we expect from you in 2019?
2019, what you can expect from me is a lot more collaborations or I want to call it luxury events or events that are fitted for the culture. That's going to move the culture forward. I did a lot of groundwork and foundational work to acquire a lot of big time, or you want to call it, in the corporate world. And now I have enough leverage where I can now connect the middle class or the lower class with the middle class and the high class in one event.
Yeah.
Kind of fuses together. And doing a lot more stuff like on a higher level when I'm doing like a basketball event, having a music festival with it to cap off the weekend, like doing stuff like that, collaborating with other clothing brands. I just got to collaborate with Champion. So like finding different ways to like move the culture forward that no one's ever done before.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel, just trying to add a couple new spokes and like motivate the guys from Toronto. Like, let's get out here and get it and make some plays.
Dope. Last question I have for you. For somebody who you know, at a young age, you've gone through so many different experiences, right? Sports, entrepreneurship, spitting bars, right? What advice can you give these young cats coming up?
The biggest advice I can give these young kids coming up is, if you want to be great at anything, do your research. Growing up, I was a human encyclopedia, meaning I knew everyone's stats. Not just in high school, not just in college, but in the NBA. I soaked it. I knew everyone's bars. The second a Nas album came out, when Friday first gave me that Mos Def album, I knew Sex, Drugs, and Money. I knew every bar because I was really into this thing. Like, if you're really into something, do all your research. Be engulfed in this stuff. Make sure you live it. Make sure it's part of you. Make sure it's part of your ethos. Make sure you wake up thinking about it and how you can be this person that no one's ever been. Because if you're not, you're half-assing. You might as well do something else. Because if you're not, I know everyone who's extremely successful, they live what they do.
Yeah.
Like, when it comes to this music stuff, I lived music. There wasn't no album that I couldn't hear for 2 days and I didn't know almost every lyric. And if I didn't know the lyric, I was mad at myself.
Yeah.
I'd play it back till I know every single lyric of every album. That's just me. Like, I knew everyone's numbers. I know every stat. I knew what Vince Carter averaged. I knew what Tracy McGrady was averaging. I had a solution on how we can get better. Mm-hmm. That's how I was thinking. So that's the advice. Like, do your research. Like, this year alone, I read 60 books. Not all of them were on entrepreneurship, but all of them will help my entrepreneur endeavors.
Yeah.
Because now I'm quoting books when I'm going to these meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And automatically we're put on a different pedestal now. Okay, I'm talking to a brother that knows something.
Yeah.
When I'm quoting Michael Gladwell, they're like, okay, who we talking to now?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I read 60 books, not to be cool, but I want to know what I'm talking about. I want more experiences. I want to have more knowledge, more information that I can feed back to these people when I want to go in with leverage.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I want to see other people's life stories that are very synonymous to mine.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't serendipitous that I'm like, okay, let me read 60 books. I was seeing it everywhere. All these conversations with people like, yeah, you got to read 60. The average millionaire reads 60 books in a year. I'm like, what? I'm here just listening to music all day. Mm. I'm in the plane with all this time and everyone in first class got a book. I'm the only one with my headphones on. Okay, I figured it out. They're trying to get as much knowledge as they can before they get off this plane. You know, using their time wisely.
Yeah.
So let me do the same then. And now the conversations are different. When I walk into the plane, the guy next to me, prime example, a guy that I met who's the vice president of Verizon, when I was sitting there reading the book, he asked me about the book I was reading. It was The Monk Who Sold His Ferrari. I'm like, this is the book. He's like, it looks like a great book. I'm like, yeah, matter of fact, I'll give it to you. I just finished reading it. He's like, take my card. We have a great relationship now.
Yeah.
I can do anything I want through that relationship because of reading and understanding and being able to code switch. I can go to the hood and talk with the kids.
Mm-hmm.
I can go to the corporate office and talk corporate. I can go in a booth and I can rap.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing I can't do. I'm able to coach because I gave myself these skills,
mm-hmm.
Enhanced my soft and hard skills because I wanted to.
Yeah.
You want to have this. A lot of people see people who are successful and think like they just got it overnight. This shit is a process. This shit didn't happen overnight. Like, so that's the biggest thing.
You got to be able to code switch.
Yeah. If you can't code switch, you're not really doing nothing.
Yeah.
I can go to the strip club all night and I can wake up in the morning and have a meeting with Ebony Magazine.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll never know where I was at, just to say the least. You know what I'm saying? So you got to be able to do that.
Hey, with that, yo, that's. I think we should end it on that right there.
Yeah, let's end it. I need to put some bars, man. I want some bars.
Hey.
I need to put some bars, man. Please.
We're going to give the people some bars,
give
too.
Give me some little, just a couple bars. That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
Just for my people. Like, we went double platinum in the hood for Welcome to Deuce & Trey. So I know people, I need to give something to the people, at least something small. Hey. Something light.
AWOL's a team?
AWOL's a team. It's been a team.
Hey.
You know what I'm saying? It's been a team. We ain't leave since.
Yes, yes. Yo, thank you. Thank you for chopping it up with me here. You know what I'm saying? And Tui Buns and Tuhen. You know what I'm saying?
Thank you for having me, man. Yes. Definitely a pleasure.
Yes.
For sure.
Six views.
Smoke weed every day.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, we got Infinite in the motherfucking building.
Yes.
Now, I want to hold you for a moment, right? We got something called Smoke and Mirrors, right? So, Smoke and Mirrors is basically like our session where we talk about news, hip-hop news, and different things that are going on in like local news most of the time, right?
And
it's like, we get a barrage of shit, you know? I like to go on 6buzz, like, our DM group be going back and forth, you know what I'm saying?
He's giving up his sources. Shouldn't be giving up his sources, but he'd be giving up his sources.
No. I catch a story from 6buzz and I do my research. Or, you know, I'm on the Breakfast Club.
Always do the research. Always, right? Always do the research.
I try to fact check, you know what I'm saying?
Sometimes we
go off the handle. Yeah. And for the people who are in the listening audience who are just now tuning in, we got Infinite in the building, you know what I'm saying?
No doubt.
A lot of legendary shit we were talking about.
Like we said, the last 3 episodes, we had a nice roster.
Yes.
We had Jelly Stone,
Adam
Bomb,
right.
Now we had you.
Okay. Hey, we love hip hop. We keep on giving the hits, yo.
Yes,
you
know for sure, for sure. Keep it coming.
So I'm gonna start somber and then I'm gonna go happy and then we'll see where we end over
Let's
here.
Let's see what you're talking
okay,
about.
Okay, so in 24 hours, 6 shootings.
Oh.
One of them by a riot spot check by King and Spadina.
That
and
was
3
fatal.
Homicides.
That was fatal.
Okay. 95th homicide this year.
There was a joke, but okay, so to add to the madness, there was a drive by today by a school.
Yeah.
There's one in PK, I heard too.
Oh, that's part of the other over the 24-hour period. But
today
this afternoon, there was a drive by a school.
Yeah.
Wow.
Like Finch.
Yeah.
Close to Finch.
Wow.
Yeah. And last night,
getting 95th crazy.
Homicide last night.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Man got shot on Spadina while there was a riot.
King and Spadina, yeah.
On the other block.
Right.
Yeah, they're doing sobriety tests right down the road.
Yeah.
A gaggle of the boy them, and they're just letting off shots. Like,
yeah, this they is ran for the ride check.
Mm.
This is why people outside of the country and the city are like, yo, man, them live in Toronto. Or they don't say it like that. They're like, yo, dog, you live in Toronto? Oh, shit.
Yeah.
You good? Yeah. You good?
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. The guy got killed dropping off his fiance by Jane and Finch, too, I think it was. Yeah. Early in the morning, like 6 o'clock
six,
in the morning.
6:15 in the morning or something like that.
And his car. On his car and they it's wild in the city right now.
Yeah.
Okay, here's my question. And we asked this to like a lot of guests who's passed through over the last few months because it's been something that's just risen.
Since the summer, man. Yeah. It's just been continuous.
Yeah.
From when they put out that stat that it's been the worst since 1991, it's been something that we've been bringing up on the show over and over again.
Right.
Okay, so what do you feel that Toronto as a whole can do to bring down some of the violence that's going on in the city?
Just educate yourself, man. But they're not going to educate themselves. You got to be a big brother to these guys and let them know the consequences and what could happen. So they're moving like they don't care. For the ones that are moving like they don't care, you know what I'm saying? That's who I'm talking to. You know what I'm saying? You got to know what your risk. You got to know that you're looking at life. You're looking at doing years.
Yeah.
So if you're doing something, I'm not even promoting nothing, but if you do something, you gotta just use your head when you're doing something. You don't wanna give away your life and do 20, you know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying?
True.
Like, what I'm trying to say is the court system, who do you think has their hands in making decisions and running the court system? Who do you think? It's not black people.
No,
it's white people, right?
Yeah, it's
okay.
The government, at the end of the day, it's all the money makes.
You see what I'm saying?
Right? They say you're supposed to have a jury of your peers, right?
Yeah. But
there's people saying, like, I'm getting jury and there's all white people. That's not my peers.
Yeah.
That's not a fair. You know, like, they're already putting me up against.
Who even wants to do jury jury duty if you live in the hood, fam? See?
But that's the whole thing,
So, you as the shooter now, you're going to. It's too late. You already squeezed. You already made a certain decision that you weren't supposed to make already.
Yeah.
So when you're sitting in the courtroom and you look to the side and you see 10 white people, one Chinese, and you know what I'm saying to you, and they're older.
Yeah,
they're gonna look and they're gonna be like, "No, this is a gangster." Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So whatever you did doesn't even make sense fighting about it. You gotta like just use your head, man.
Yeah.
Try to just avoid things. Don't make decisions off of emotions, off your anger.
Mm-hmm.
Don't make decisions off your anger because that could also get you killed. Making decisions off your emotions, running out in the open. No.
Yeah.
Use your head. Don't make decisions off emotions.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Heavy jewels right there. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm gonna go to a happier subject.
All
right. Right.
Tory Lanez.
Oh.
Actually, is it
it's
happy?
Not really happier, but
okay. Let me push Tory Lanez to the side for a second. Put him on the Pinterest board. Okay. You know what I'm saying? Michael Rapaport versus Ariana Grande.
Oh, see, I don't even know what that's all about.
What's that?
Hold on, let me bring it up on my phone over here.
Michael Rapaport, he's going on his rants when he's ready, though.
Yeah, I can print it up here. So he's got a picture of her here. Okay. So.
That's Ariana Grande?
Yeah.
Let me see.
It's like an old school picture of her, apparently, okay?
All right.
So Michael Rapaport says from his Instagram, Ariana Grande is 27, acts 12. You take off those boots she hides her legs in, the cat eye makeup and the genie ponytail, and I think there's hotter women working the counter at the Starbucks. No disrespect to Starbucks.
Oh, wow.
Michael Rapaport. Why is he going out of there like that? What did she do for him to get his rap? Because when he's ready, he just goes in on people.
I don't know.
Have you been on his page? Have you seen some of the rants he puts on his page?
You know what? Let me go to this guy's page for a second.
Go to this video to see if there's any video rants there. Like when
he's got a rant going on right now that somebody stole his pigeon.
Oh, gosh.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he goes at guys. We all know Michael Rapaport goes at guys, but for some reason he woke up and Ariana Grande was on his fucking radar, fam. He gave her the business.
Okay.
Wow. Okay, so now, fuck that. Let's get back to this Tory Lanez guy.
Okay.
Because
Tory Lanez and Royce the 5'9"?
Yeah.
What's going on with that?
Tory.
Oh, they got in a Twitter conflict.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Tory Lanez went at Royce the 5'9", and then he told Royce 5'9" got. He told him to suck his dick.
He told him to suck his dick.
Right, yeah. And then Royce, you know, the response Royce the 5'9" put that I seen was, "Remember, you said that, not me." And that was the response to that.
Yep. Yeah,
right.
It was done.
See, I see.
Wow.
So okay, it started off.
So
actually, it started further back.
Yeah, it goes further back, but that's like the conclusion part.
Did you see the Tory Lanez?
Tory's going off on
Jordan
everybody.
Lucas battle. Did you hear any of that?
Yeah, yeah. I heard
so
it.
That's where it started.
Yeah, because he's saying, "I'm better than this. I'm better than that. I'm the hottest right now." Like he's on his wave. Yeah. You know, he's feeling himself.
Yeah,
which he's entitled to, but he has to realize he's got to watch the battles you pick.
It's doing all right.
So he's on one.
He's like, feeling himself.
Yeah, he's definitely feeling himself.
Oh, he's feeling himself, and he's on Twitter. He's doing his rant. You know, he's Toring it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And then somebody was like, "What about Royce 5'9"? Because remember, after he was quote unquote declared the winner of the Joyner Lucas thing,
yeah.
And I'm gonna say quote unquote because not everybody believed this.
Yeah,
i.e. Royce 5'9".
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah.
So when he jumped in and he was like, you know, Joyner did this fucking thing, like Tory couldn't take it, fam. Yeah.
He got offended,
and he just started. Bada bing, bada bing, bada bing. Nobody, I guess, was in the room with like, "Yo, take the phone out."
Easy.
There you go.
I think they both did their thing.
Him and Jordan Lucas.
Tory and think they both did their.
Yeah.
Was,
I think they both was fire.
Yeah.
You know.
They both.
But
had
he can't accept when a man says, "Yo,
he got you." See, he has to have, like I said, he has to have that person around him to just say, watch what you're posting, man. Yeah.
So here's what the man says. Ain't nobody scared of a 57 lyrically, or nobody's scared of Rolls 57 lyrically. I deleted my comments because he started going at his shit.
Yeah.
He deleted the comment, and then, I don't know, I guess people called him out on that shit.
Yeah.
And he was like, "Nah, I ain't scared of these niggas." So he comes now after the comment was deleted.
Yeah.
Right? I deleted my comment because I'm not going to keep acting like my nigga Joyner didn't do his thing. The old nigga kind of had a point. What I said came off like some hating shit. People should, people are allowed to think anybody won. Simple. And then here comes Royce, my nigga. Something's blocked out here. Where the fucking rest of this? Okay. If you're trying to get your motherfucking ass beat, doing everything right, you're doing everything right. I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt because you're Canadian. I don't know what that means. Okay, Royce 5'9".
Yeah.
Right? Now go play somewhere before I get upset. Easy, Mr. Muscle Milk. Here comes Tory.
Yeah.
... Okay. Don't let your gym workouts and the fumes air start confusing your mind, old ass nigga talking about he before I get upset on Twitter. Fuck you finna do. Fight me through emojis and texts. Nigga, suck my dick. Hashtag young world, young nigga world. Tory Lanez. And then, all right, cool. Remember, he said it, not me.
Nah, Tory gotta be careful, man. He's talented. Tory's talented, so you gotta be careful.
He's talented. So with the hands are you talking about?
No. I'm talking about music wise.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah,
music wise, he's a talented man, so he's a talented youth. So he's just gotta be careful the energy he puts out there. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Cause you don't want it to turn around and come back, you know?
Yeah. So because it's not like at this point, I feel like the way he's talking, it could have been a lyrical battle. Royce could have just came, ate food, and just went back to sleep.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Until the next album.
Yeah.
But then the man started jumping out of his face. And now he's just like, "All right, fam. Peace.
Remember,
I'm not going to the studio anymore.
Yeah.
I'm just going to wait till I see you, nigga."
Yeah.
So that's basically what I'm getting from that. Like, what was that? That's like different. Okay, remember, you said it. So when I see you, you know, I'm putting my hands on you, right?
Yeah.
So don't forget it. That's what I'm taking from that. Like,
I can't think of anything else out of that. That's what it sounds like.
I think he might have fucking bought a paid a check there or whatever,
wrote a check he can't cash.
No disrespect to Tory Lanez.
Remember, Tory Lanez already done told man, "Hey, we can clear the room. mm-hmm. and we can go, we can do this, we can fight, right? Mm-hmm. Then in England, right, in the UK or whatever, mm-hmm. you must see the next dude say, yo, we could go inside and fight. Bro, he's been telling man like he's ready to fight, he's ready to throw hands.
Was at Club Live getting fucking like trampled by a bunch of people after he had a fight with the game or some shit, or an argument with the game. Yeah.
Yeah, it was Miami on Rampage.
It's the Tory Lanez Royal Rumble at this.
Bro, he's doing his world tour of, he's just going in
everywhere,
right? He's leaving his mark.
Oh man.
But yeah,
okay.
Well, okay, hold on. I got one thing to add to this. Mirrors. So what about, okay? So Lil Pump came out with this new, some new music, and he's making some signs like towards Asians with his eyes and making noise. And then China Mac came to say to them like, "Yo, I'm just gonna scold you because you're a little boy." So basically, he's like, "Yo, you're disrespecting my culture. Mm-hmm. You need to respect my culture and put some respect, you know, on my people. Don't mm-hmm. be doing no eyes motions and talking this shit. So I want you to take that shit down." I don't know what Lil Pump said or did to it, but like, so there's a little spat right there because you know China Mac
doesn't want to get, you know, he doesn't want to get that smoke from China Mac. Yo, China Mac has done a lot of fucking time, bro. All his interviews are just about him doing time and then going back, him shooting at Jin and his people. Like,
Asian at the end of the day, the man has a point, though. Like, why is he doing that, right? So we'll see what Lil Pump's response is.
Canal Street, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang, Gucci Gang.
But yeah.
Last thing I want to bring up here, Juel Santana.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
What about Juel?
Juel Santana gets 27 months mandatory. Ooh,
that's better than 20 years.
Okay.
Shit.
So I'm gonna pull up an article here from All Hip Hop.
It's better than 20 years. It's better than life, man.
Yeah.
Dude, they were trying to get a man. That's what I heard through the grapevine. 20 years. Because he had oxycodone and a firearm in the airport.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how you forget you have a firearm and oxycodone on you unless you're extremely high and you're trying to go through customs. And then he dipped, no pun intended, but he dipped from the flip-ins. He dipped and he took off from the airport and then he was arrested later.
With a firearm charge.
Yeah, Juel Santana for having possession of firearm and illegal opiates.
You gotta search your bag before you go to the airport, bro. Before you pack.
How'd you forget that hammer?
He forgot the hammer and the drugs.
No, but I don't get it. Like,
oh man, I'm good. I'll get you. Don't worry.
He didn't pack his bag. He didn't pack his bag. He didn't pack his bag.
Oh,
he didn't pack his bag or something. Like,
I don't know.
Listen,
he's the one who's getting the blame for it. He's the one taking responsibility.
You see. When I say his girl packed his bag, I'm not dissing. I'm just saying, like,
he didn't check.
If he knew that was the bag, he would have checked his bag. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But maybe at the airport it was too late and it wasn't, you know, I don't know, man.
Listen, that's a sticky situation, okay?
But yeah, 27 months is a way far better cry than 20 years that they're saying.
And that's to your point, Infinite, right?
Yeah.
Maybe that's what the lawyer, and I don't know because I don't know what the lawyer said in court. Didn't even say here. It just talks about how he was off bail for like 500,000. He put up his mom's crib to be home.
Right.
To do that Dipset tour, all that shit.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's got to make some money before he goes to jail. Bread,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing though. He only got 27 months.
Mm-hmm.
To me, that's great. This is New York fucking state.
Versus.
And you're at the airport. So you're at a federal fucking, in a federal building.
Yeah.
You skated with less than 2 years because he's going to do 2/3 or whatever.
Yeah.
And he's home back to doing his thing.
85% or something like that.
85% of his time.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Dog, that's New York State. It's not Florida or one of them places where the hammer is not that big of a deal. The hammer is a big deal there.
The only thing is he has a strike against him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I don't know how much strikes he has against him, but that right there.
It's not his first offense.
So that means that can't be three strikes because he wouldn't be doing 27 months or 20 whatever months it is.
You got great three strikes.
That's it. You ain't coming out.
Yeah, I don't. They have that in
the States,
New York, or Harlem. There were
three felons.
Yeah, but it's in New York or this.
I think it's in everywhere. I think it's the States.
States. Period.
I think Bill.
Yeah.
Since
three strike law, you're out.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what it is.
So that can't be three strikes with him.
No. Well, I don't know about New York State.
But 27 months is a way far better cry than 20 years.
Wait, you're all right.
You do that on your head, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? 27 months for a hammer?
Listen, you better go to the airport and oxys.
That's what I'm saying. Drugs and a hammer.
Yeah.
But you know, in the States, it's really okay. So, guns. He's a felon, right? Mm. So if he has a felon, that should be like even that right
that,
there.
That should be more.
Even that right there being a felon, he got off, right? Yeah, and then he had drugs on top of it.
Yeah.
Unless he had prescription for those drugs and his lawyer.
His lawyer really put in that work.
Shit. They put that work. That 27 months.
Unless he took a plea.
I'm gonna do some more fact checking from the article that I have in All Hip Hop. It doesn't have that information.
Yeah, but 27 but months.
Shout out to Joel Santana. Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
Wow,
that was on. Okay. Yeah. All right. So we're gonna wrap it up.
Yeah.
All right. Our cameras are overheating, and we've been here long enough chopping it up. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I want to get your social medias. Let the people know where to find you. Let me make sure our cameras pop in here first. Okay, so yeah, let the people know where to find you social media wise and your music and stuff.
All right, so y'all check out my Twitter, man, infinite_LDC, or Instagram. Like I'm slipping with my Twitter, but I'm on Instagram more daily. You know what I mean? INFINITE_LD, infinite_LD. All right.
Okay.
That's what's up.
Yes, mad respect for coming through, dog.
Yes, thank respect, you, family. Thank you, definitely.
Legendary shit. Yeah. PK Herc, let the people know where to find
you. That's me, SSC _ Hey Herc _ PK on Instagram, because that's me. This guy fucked me up. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, it was a good episode. 102 was lit.
Yeah.
And thank you again for coming through.
Wow.
It was a big episode.
Respect, fam.
I can't believe you said 102, man. Shit, man.
Yeah. We be working over here, man.
Yeah, man.
Holidays.
Yes.
Happy holidays to everybody.
You know what I mean? Buona Santa Claus. Hit me up on my Instagram.
Buona Santa Claus.
Or hit up all my social medias. That's Friday Ricky Dread. Hold on. Man, won't try. I'm getting the pasties, fam.
It is smoke.
Sav's shaking her head off camera. Hit up all my social medias all across the board. That's Friday Ricky Dread. That's DRED. Hit up my website. That's Friday, aka Ricky Dread. Hit up our Instagram, that's We Love Hip Hop Network, and our Twitter at We Love Hip Hop TO.
Get the subscribers up on YouTube. Come on, people. We got a prize pack for you guys. You don't want it?
All the people who are watching this video now, do remember that this is the new channel, okay? This is not the old channel that you're watching, and then you could just move on to the next time you see one of us, man, them on the YouTube. Subscribe to this channel, because this is the new channel, okay? The old channel, we'll think about that later, you know what I'm saying? But subscribe, so hit the subscribe button, hit the notification bell so you'll know when we're dropping new videos. Seen?
And get to the website, too.
Yes, website, welovehiphop.ca. I'm going to take us out with a track here by Swish. The track is called Intro. Let me get the speaker popping.
Yeah. Nah, man, I gotta know I'm going. Like crazy, can't enjoy. Too many problems trying to avoid. I'm with the gang, man, we blowing. I flex like floor. I keep a stick too tall. I keep a glizzy and paranoid. I keep a glizzy cause a nigga paranoid. I'm flexing high like I'm out of steroids. And you employ, so you a dope boy.